You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order. For today's show, I want to focus on Trevor Bauer and his Cy Young season. The first half of the show, I'll go through the numbers of what he did this year and why he won the award. Then later on in the second half of the show, I want to focus in on his pitch arsenal, what he brings to the table, if the Mets ultimately do sign him in free agency. Before we get to any of that though, I'm your host Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMirageOnline.com. Now, Trevor Bauer was the third overall pick in the draft back in 2011. He was selected by the Arizona Diamondbacks after a record-setting career at UCLA. He made short work through the minor leagues, debuting for the Diamondbacks in 2012. He was traded, though, in a deal that sent Didi Gregorius to the Diamondbacks and sent Bauer to Cleveland. He made four starts in his debut with Arizona, then made four more starts in 2013 with the Indians. In 2014, he became a mainstay in their rotation. Now, he was relatively average as a starter from 2014 through 2017. Then in 2018, everything clicked for him. He was an all-star, sixth in the Cy Young race, finished the year with a 2.21 ERA and a league-best 2.41 FIP, which is fielding independent pitching. He also led the league that year with a minuscule 0.5 home run per nine rate. In 2019, he had a down year. Started off a little bit slow compared to his 2.21 ERA of 18 with the Indians, and throughout the first half was still good, but not as great as he was previously. Then he gets traded to the Reds and just fell off a cliff. Had an ERA over 6, just did not look comfortable, all of it. Then this year, 2020, he made the Reds look great for trading for him, had an unbelievable season, pitched them into the playoffs, had a league-best 1.73 ERA, had two complete game shutouts, both of them being in 7-inning doubleheader games. But you look at his season overall, and you do have to note that he pitched against some bad teams. I think that's something that has to be mentioned. The NL Central didn't really have a ton of strong lineups. The AL Central, outside of the White Sox, did not have a lot of great lineups as well. So Bauer did benefit from that slightly. But if you watch the highlights, which I did, you can't deny it. Stuff is amazing. It really is. And I don't know that a better lineup would have handled Bauer and he would have had a worse season if he was pitching in the East, for example. I mean, he shut down the Braves in the playoffs. That pretty much could have quieted any doubters about how good this guy was this year. I really think Bauer won the Cy Young in his final start of the season. At the time, the Reds needed to win every possible game. They didn't realize the Mets and the Phillies would basically lose out, and that path to the playoffs was a lot more wide open, but at the time, Bauer pitched on 3 days rest against the Brewers so that he could come back and pitch again at the end of the season if they needed him to make it to the playoffs. Going on short rest, he strikes out 12 Brewers across 8 innings pitched, allowing just one run. In the top of the 6th inning of that game, he had a seminal moment. Brewers at the time are losing 6-1, the Reds are in complete control, and it seems like the wheels are about to fall off. The leadoff batter gets on via an error. Bauer then gives up a base hit. There are now runners at the corners. This is where a start can snowball. But Trevor Bauer, as a Cy Young, goes out and strikes out the next three batters, getting more amped with each strikeout. That competitiveness is something that would be welcomed in Queens. I mean, watching it, I got swayed immediately at the time. I was like, man, as much as I'm at this point just rooting for DeGrom to win a Cy Young, I saw this and I was like, he won it. Bauer just won the Cy Young, and he pitched two more innings of shutout ball at that point, had allowed the one run earlier. And that was really the award to me. And if you look at his season and the seasons of a lot of Cy Youngs previously, what really stands out is when you give up runners on base, can you strand them? Well, in 2020, his left on base rate was 90.9%. So 91% of the time, if a runner got on, he wasn't coming around to score on Bauer. That was better than anyone in the National League. The only pitcher in baseball with a better left on base rate was Shane Bieber. In the American League, Bieber also won the Cy Young. So if you look at all of this, you look at the advanced metrics on Bauer this year, I mean, he was tops in pretty much everything. I'm not saying he was the best, but in the top 10 percentile, top 5 percentile on most of these expected pitching metrics that you can find at Baseball Savant. Expected batting average, expected slugging percentage, weighted on base average, all of them, he was around the top of the league. His expected ERA of 2.17 was the best among all starting pitchers. So if you look at all those numbers in his season, I know Mets fans tried to poke holes in it at the time when they were rooting for DeGrom. Trevor Bauer was the best pitcher in the National League this year. Now, I think over a full season, probably wouldn't have been the case. I think Jacob DeGrom would have found a way to improve his numbers. I think Trevor Bauer might have fallen back to the mean a little bit. And I don't think Bauer's a better pitcher than Jacob DeGrom overall. I think Jacob DeGrom's still the best pitcher in baseball. But you look at what he did, and I'll dig into his actual pitches in a second. This guy's elite. He's an elite competitor, and he's definitely worthy of being the top starting pitcher on the market. And I've even tried to argue that Marcus Stroman is a guy that you might like more because across his career, he's been more consistent. But you dig into the actual pitches and some of these things, and if you're asking me right now who can be more dominant across the season, I think it's probably Trevor Bauer. If you ask me who can be more consistent, maybe it's Stroman. But overall, there is a reason he's going to be the guy that's going to get paid the most in free agency, at least on an average annual value, I think, for sure. The question is, do you want to commit that much money to Bauer, or can that money be better spent in multiple places? But simply based on what he's doing right now with his arsenal and the way he's maximizing what he has, Trevor Bauer would make the biggest impact on the Mets rotation next year. It's probably not even close. So I want to talk about the pitch arsenal in a second and how he gets hitters out and what's repeatable about that moving forward. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever with 18 amazing flavors, including their 6 new flavors. The Caramel Brownie Bar, Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars, coming covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy too, coming low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code locked on for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. If you go to Baseball Savant, Trevor Bauer has a 6-pitch arsenal. But if you really focus in, he primarily uses 4 pitches with a sinker and a changeup that he'll occasionally mix in. This year, he only threw 3 changeups. Only one of them was actually a batted ball event. It was a home run. So he doesn't go to that changeup often. It's something he's talked about engineering more and working on developing, but mostly this is a guy that goes fastball, slider, curveball, cutter. That's his bread and butter. And everything, like most pitchers, works off the fastball. This year, his fastball averaged 93.5 miles per hour. Now, his struggles in 2019 were due to that fastball and the cutter getting hit pretty hard, which probably was due to location, not having the plus level velocity like some other pitchers, like a DeGrom. Batters can square up those pitches if he's not sequencing them well and if he's not locating them well. So you look at this year, the fastball was excellent. Okay, according to Baseball Savant, his fastball spin rate was in the 100th percentile. Can't get any better than that. Now that's needed because his velocity is in the 23rd percentile, which is just crazy to think about where we've gone, that 94 miles per hour of an average fastball velocity is in the 23rd percentile of the league. It's just crazy how hard people are throwing nowadays. But you look at the pitch a little further. His fastball was his best put-away pitch. Now, put-away percentage is the rate of a two-strike pitch that results in a strikeout. So his fastball had a 29.7 put-away percentage. 30% of the time on two strikes, throws that pitch, he's getting a K. Now you look at the actual movement on this pitch. It dropped 3.9 more inches than your average fastball, which is by far the best mark of his career in that metric, which is going against everyone else's fastball. His has incredible movement due to that elite spin rate. Now, his fastball also looks like it's, or at least the pitches I saw, which are generally strikeouts, it is a two-seam type fastball where it really runs in on right-handers and away from lefties. So that great movement is a weapon that he can use, and he's able to locate that fastball at all four quadrants, up and in, up and away, down and in, down and away. He can dot that pitch wherever he wants it with the elite movement. Now you look at his curveball, and this has been his best pitch throughout his career. It's a knuckle curve grip, and it's one of the nastiest pitches in baseball. And it just keeps getting better. This season, his curveball had 63.6 inches of drop. I'll say that again, 63.6 inches of drop. That thing is dropping 5 feet, just drops off the table. Now, this was 11 inches better than your average curveball. So his curveball this season was dropping an extra foot compared to everyone else's curveball. Now that curveball this year generated a whiff rate of 38.5%, and his put-away percentage on that pitch was 25.7. Now the final two pitches in his arsenal really work off each other, his cutter and his slider. Now these are pitches that work best when a batter can't distinguish which one is coming, because the cutter comes in harder, the slider has more movement. So when a batter's looking at these pitches, if he thinks the cutter's coming and it's a slider, he's probably trying to swing and that slider's going to fall off the table and he's going to swing right through it. If he thinks it's a slider coming, he might be laying off that pitch, spitting on it, and if it's a cutter instead of a slider, it's not going to drop off the table. It's going to have that tighter break that's not really going to, you know, drop horizontally or vertically that much. It's going to stay in the zone, and he's going to get that backwards K where they're striking out looking. So if you look at the pitches, generally there's 5 miles per hour difference between them throughout his career. Now the slider, like I said, has significantly more movement. But you look in 2019, and as I mentioned, his cutter was hit pretty hard. Batters hit 312 on the pitch. It had a 452 slugging percentage. This year, batters hit 194 on the pitch with a 323 slugging percentage. Now, it's going to be that throughout his career where I think the cutter will be hit more than the slider, because the slider is a nastier pitch, but also, if they're seeing it well, they're not swinging at that slider. The cutter, if they see it well, they know they can barrel it. So if you look at what happened, this is probably due to location and pitch sequencing more than anything else. If batters were getting comfortable, they had an idea of what was coming, they were guessing right more often, they could have been hitting that cutter, knowing it was coming, and they were spitting on the slider. If you look at his slider this year, it was better than ever, which also could be why his cutter was better in turn, because people were more aware of that slider as it was dropping more than ever. This year, his slider dropped 3.5 inches more than the average pitch, with 45.3 inches of vertical drop. Now, that slider, unlike the curveball, also moves horizontally. This year is the best of his career. His slider had 8.8 inches more horizontal movement than your average pitch. What did that generate overall in the cutter and the slider? Well, his cutter had a 41.7 whiff rate, and his put-away percentage on the pitch was 25.9. Look at the slider, and his whiff rate was 33.7%. His put-away percentage was 23.4. You combine all of it together, and with those two pitches working, his curveball that just drops off the table, his fastball that was moving, he had four pitches that were generating around a 25% put-away percentage. That means on any two-strike count, he has four weapons he can attack you with and strike you out with. And that is something that not a lot of pitchers can say. When you look at all this, obviously he's an attractive free agent for the Mets to sign. It's just that simple. Throughout the rest of the week, what I want to do, though, is talk about the cost of acquisition, what it's going to take to get him, and whether or not it's worth it for the Mets to sign him due to whatever that cost is going to be. On tomorrow's show, I'm going to have a guest that's going to advocate for Trevor Bauer. And then on Friday, unless we have some breaking news, I'll come to my final conclusion on whether I want the Mets to go all in on Trevor Bauer. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked on Mets.